It is good to be with you all once again. I bring greetings from Jeff Esdale and the Esdale family. I worship at Musselbrook or Brookside Baptist Church in Musselbrook, and they were with my wife at a church function, and they wanted to be sure that we said good day to you all. Now, I know you may be wondering why an old guy like me is with a ministry called Word of Life Youth Ministry. Well, I have a saying: if you want to stay young, run with the youth. If you want to die young, try to keep up with them. So I don't quite keep up with the guys anymore, but I had the privilege of being on part of this trip. I'm on the first 7-8 days of this trip, and then the boss will switch over with me and Armadale, because I'll go back to Musselbrook, where we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church. We started in 1968, and I have the privilege of being there and worshiping with the folks there. Now, one of my roles at Word of Life is I do a lot of administration, but I also do a lot of traveling, not necessarily in Australia anymore, but I go to Papua New Guinea, and I'll be in Papua New Guinea in a few weeks, in the middle of October, and I'll be able to see Joshua again. Do you remember Joshua, the Papua New Guinean that I was able to bring by? He got married in March, and he got rid of his pigs. That's a long story, and they are expecting their first. But an exciting thing that we're going to be doing in Papua New Guinea, September 2019, we're going to be running a healthcare trip, taking doctors and nurses and medical personnel here from Australia. So guys, if you happen to be a doctor or a nurse or, you know, a paramedic, or if you know somebody that's a doctor or a nurse or paramedic that would like to serve the Lord for a week in Papua New Guinea, be sure you fill out one of these cards. And you might write Scott on one side and P&G on the other. And because we would love to get in contact with you. Or if you want my business card, I could give that to you. Guys, and truly, as Scott said, the greatest asset any ministry can have is people praying for them. A few years ago, I was in the States, and I've been a missionary for 35 years, and I asked my people, how do you like to hear from your missionaries? And surprisingly, a lot of the mature ones, not old, mature ones, they like to pray today. They want to get an email, what's happening today. You know, not a long, drawn-out prayer letter. You know, just a little short thing saying, hey, I'm praying for this trip. So there are people literally around the world that's praying for you today. Because I email my people, told them I'd be in the Baptist church here, and there's people in, all over the world. If you have your Bibles today, open them up to Hebrews chapter 12. What we'd like to do today is look at the question, why the Word of God should be a part of our lives. Why the Word of God should be a part of our lives. We're going to look at the power of the Word of God, and we're going to look at the purpose of the Word of God, and then the Word of God being a part of you. But let's pray before we go much further. Father, it's been a good meeting, good service. Father, great time to be in your house today. We would ask you that you would help us now, Lord, to hear your word, that the Spirit of God would speak to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. How many Bibles do you own? Recently, I just moved, and I was able to buy my first house. Actually, my son bought it. But anyway, and I had to get my Bibles off my bookshelf, and I finally threw a couple of them away. Oh, it was hard to do, but I just don't use them anymore. Now, I know if you're like me, you probably have 4, 5, 6, 7 Bibles, and you just can't part with them. I used to be a camp director, and I'm excited about people going on camp. It's going to be a great time next week. And we would get Bibles that campers would bring because it was a requirement to bring your Bible. It'd be a paperback, the Good News Version. They'd scribble, they'd write on it, they'd leave it on the windowsill. And you would try to give it to other campers, other people. Nobody wanted to use Bible. So every once in a while, I would clean up the dining hall, the meeting hall, and I would throw them in the bin. But I had to learn to put them in plastic bags, because if somebody walked past the bin and saw the Bibles, they'd pull them out and put them on the shelves. How many Bibles do you own? I want to ask another question. Does your Bible own you? Does your Bible own you? Do you miss your Bible when you don't read it? Do you know your Bible? Now, there's a problem. How many use electronic Bibles? Yeah, I use electronic Bibles. But there's nothing like the coffee stain in the top right-hand corner for that verse you're trying to find. You know your Bible. You just know where it is on the page. That's the problem with electronic Bibles, But do you know your Bible? Now, here, let me ask this question. Do people associate you with the Bible? You walk down the streets of Moree. Would people look at you and associate you with the Bible? Now, I'm not talking about being a Bible basher, but I'm talking about being a person who lives by the principles that are found in the Word of God and acting out those principles. So the power of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart." It says the Word of God is living. Our Bible is alive. Not the physical book. There's nothing special about this piece of paper. But the message within it, it brings comfort to the discouraged. It encourages the disheartened. It convicts the sinner. It brings joy when your soul needs it. It's a book written well over 2,000 years ago, but it's just as relevant today for us as it was when it was written. The Bible is alive. The Bible is powerful. It has the power to change lives. It changed my life. I didn't become a Christian until I was 20, but I had 8 years perfect attendance in Sunday school. My father died when I was 12, and I lived with my uncle, and I don't believe he was a Christian, but he was a churchgoer to the age of 14, and he had his Sunday school pin to prove it. Well, I started at 12. He thought I should go to Sunday school, and every Sunday he would take me to Sunday school and to church. And I wanted 15 years perfect attendance because I wanted to beat my uncle. I had to be one up on him. And so at the age of 12, I went, and I can remember my brothers and sisters would say to me, "Why are you still going to church?" 18, 19, 20. I'm still going to church, still going to Sunday school. I learned the stories, but I didn't know the Lord. Till one day, a friend of mine invited me to a Christian camp. That's why I like camping. For young adults, and it was there I heard the message from the Word of God once again. How will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? And that day on July 19th, 1975, the Word of God changed my life. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and I haven't been the same since. And just recently, within the past couple of years, past couple of months, the Word of God had to slap me upside the face again. I had to continue to change. I'm constantly, constantly changing and growing. Well, your Word of God is sharp. In the book of Ezra, time's fleeing. We weren't turned there. But in Ezra chapter 8, they gathered all the children of Israel together. They built a pulpit, and Ezra's standing on the pulpit, and he's reading the Word of God. Some of you will be familiar with the story. He's reading the Word of God, and they're translating the Word of God because by now most of the people didn't know Hebrew. So they're translating into Arabic that the Jewish people would have known, and they're making sense of it. And as the people were standing there hearing the Word of God taught, they started crying because the Word of God was cutting their hearts, because they realized they were not living by the principles found in the Word of God. Guys, our Word of God is powerful. The purpose of the Word of God. Now, we could spend weeks on this, but I only want to look at two things. The purpose of the Word of God is to help you grow in your faith. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I am sure you've heard this before. You must eat to live. And just last week, I was with a brother in Christ, and his niece starved herself to death, anorexic. And her sister's working on that. And sometimes, you know, people, and I know a few people that suffer from anorexia. They just don't eat. Well, I had a nephew when he was born. He was that, you know, that fat little chubby baby. They brought him home from the hospital. That was back in the day when you didn't really breastfeed and his mother didn't breastfeed. My sister-in-law gave him formula. But he kept losing weight. Ended up in CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. That's what they call it, CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, for the first 6 months of his life, because he just could not digest food. They finally had to put an IV into his head, you know, and they would get him fattened up, and they would try goat's milk, they tried this, and they tried that. You know, he'd just lose weight again, and finally, after 6 months, his digestive system developed or whatever, and he's able to eat, and you should see him now. He's a quite big guy. But he couldn't eat. You know, you're not going to grow very much on one service a week. Now, it's great that you're here, but if this is the only time you take in the Word of God, you're not going to grow very much. You need more than a devotional time. I want your devotional time. You need to feed yourselves on the Word of God daily, if even not more so. Guys, the Word of God is what's going to help you to grow. But it's something that you have to feed yourself with. The Word of God also, another purpose, to help transform our lives. And I know you know these verses, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's an old American Indian story where someone walked up to this Indian man by his teepee, and he had two dogs chained or tied up by his teepee, a white dog and a black dog, and they looked mean and horrible. And they asked him, "Which dog is stronger?" And he says, "Well, it all depends which one I feed. If I would feed the black dog for a week and starve the white dog and let him loose, the black dog would win. But if I would feed the white dog and starve the black dog would win." Well, I think you know where I'm getting at. If we don't feed our spiritual soul with the Word of God, our lives won't change. But when we are feeding our lives, the white dog in us, with the Word of God, if we are listening to the principles of the Word of God, if we're looking into for the Word of God to speak to us, our lives will be constantly, constantly changing. We will not reach perfection until the Lord comes. In the meantime, there are still areas in our lives that need to constantly change. And like I said, probably about 2 months ago, the Lord said, "There are some things I want you to get back into and change." And it's exciting. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." And we constantly got to be renewing ourselves. Well, Not only is the Word of God powerful, not only the purpose of the Word of God needs to be a part of you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the portion that we read today, and starting in verse 4, Moses gives what Jesus says is the greatest commandment of all. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. Now, if Jesus says it was the greatest commandment, don't you think we should obey it? And if we stopped at verse 4, well, how do we obey it? But that's the exciting thing. Moses goes on to tell us how to obey the greatest commandment of all. In verse 6, he says, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart." If you want to love God with all your being, with all your mind, with all your strength, his word needs to be a part of you. And he goes on to say, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals before your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house." We are to teach our children the Word of God. We are to talk about the Word of God. That's why I love my small group. I'm trying to teach the people in my Connect group that what God is doing in their lives is so important. And I don't want them to come and just hear me talk. I want to hear what God's doing in their lives. I want them to be able to talk about what's going on. And we talk about God when we sit, when we walk, when we lie down, and when we rise up. Then it says we are to bind the word as a sign on our hands and our head and in our house. Now, I don't know if we are to take that literally anymore. But we know some of the Jewish guys did. They take a little portion of the word of God, put it in a box, and tie it on their head. And some of them may still do it today. If you ever saw the old movie Fiddler on the Roof, anybody ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? A few. Well, if you've seen that old movie about a Jewish man in Russia, you know, he's always walking in and out of the door and he kisses his finger and he touches the menorah. And that has a portion, has this portion, verse 4, in it. And many Jewish people still do this. In fact, if you saw the movie, when he finally has to leave his village because of persecution, he takes the menorah with him, you know. Well, I don't think we need to tattoo, you know, John 3:16 on our forehead. But the Word of God is supposed to be a part of our lives. So like I said before, when you walk down the streets of Moree, do people associate you with the Bible? Do they see you living by biblical principles? I'd like to have you picture your life like this sponge. Now over here, if I had a bucket of dirty, filthy water, and I dip my sponge into this bucket, when I pulled it up and I wrung it out, what would I get? Dirty, filthy water. Now, if I take this sponge and I put it over here, and here I got a bucket of fresh, clean, precious water, and I dip this sponge into this clean bucket, and I pull it out and I wring it out, what would I get? Clean water. Picture your life as a sponge. And you know the pressures of life are going to come upon you. The drought's going to bother you. The queue at the grocery store is going to bother you. The people sitting too noisy at the restaurant alongside of you are going to bother you. The kids, the neighbors, the barking dogs, whatever it is, pressures of life is going to start squeezing you. What's going to come out? Well, if we allow the Word of God to fill our lives, you know what's going to come out when pressures of life come? Biblical principles. But if you're anything like me, sometimes I allow my life to get filled with the worldly principles. And sometimes when pressures come on, I don't react like I should. And praise God, we can ask for forgiveness of people and of God, and He forgives us. But my challenge to you all today, my friends, get into the Word. Allow the Word of God to permeate your life so that when you are squeezed, people will know that you're different. And they'll say, why? And you can say, because of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And just maybe, they'll want to ask you some more questions about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we could be here. Lord, use your Word mightily in our lives. We think of next camp, Lord, next weekend as they're there. Father, as they spend time with one another, Father, help them to talk about the Word of God. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Now, if you would please stand, we're going to sing. I got the words down. One of the, oh, there it is.